Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Chrisley Confessions. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, it's been one of those mornings already.
Oh.
I mean, you know, my feet hit the floor at 6:30.
Yeah.
With phone calls, and I've been on the phone ever since then.
Yes,
which
you have.
Woke you up.
Yes.
And you came through with a little pissy attitude because I was already on the phone. And you, I just want you to know that that did not go unnoticed.
I recognized it. Well, it's that we're just having this kind of where we're not really in sync at night or in the morning because.
Let's just talk about that.
Yes.
Because this right here is really, it kind of pissed me off last night.
Okay.
So, folks, I go to bed at night and I listen to sermons on my iPhone.
Yes, you do.
And I turn it down to as low as I can get it, just to where I can lay it on my pillow at my ear so I can hear it. Now, I cannot help, folks, because I am married to Berg Dog Betty. This woman can literally get in your conversation 3 miles down the road. She can spot you 40 miles away. And while you're texting, if she's sitting beside you, she's going to go cross-eyed trying to look at my phone to see what I'm texting. But I turned the TV off last night because we had been told to stop with the TV in order to help our sleep.
Yes, yes.
So I end up turning the TV off.
And turning the sermon on.
And turning my sermon
folks,
on.
Which, folks, please.
Oh, don't
please,
be trying to save you from going to hell now.
No.
Because I'm going to tell it like
no,
it is.
No. And listen, that is a great thing. I'm glad that you do it. I think the concept of the person who told you that's what they did when they went to bed, is they used headphones.
No, actually they don't.
Or they sleep by themselves.
But they're divorced.
But with that
being said, you don't get to control everything that goes on in the room.
We're sleeping in the bed together, and I can hear your sermon that Charles Stanley's doing.
Okay, technically it wasn't Charles Stanley.
Yes,
that was the first one.
Exactly.
Yes.
The first one was Charles Stanley. So if I can hear the sermon, it's just like...
Kind of like you could hear what they were saying on the television show that you went to bed leaving the TV on.
Right. And maybe I don't know what the difference is.
So you're allergic to the Lord, but you're not allergic to NBC.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Okay, so folks, we're now getting it's now coming out.
That's not
what the real thing is.
But it's just I think when it gets so quiet and then I hear that sermon and like I was dead asleep.
You wasn't dead asleep or you couldn't have heard it that quick. Now, we're going to go ahead and move on past this because you are sketchy when it comes to this.
Well, let's just say, listen, I'm glad that's how
Tonight, it's going to be Debbie Does Dallas.
No.
That's what you're going to hear on my phone
I'm
tonight.
Not.
Yes. You're
no,
going to, when you start hearing,
you're
just know I'm not listening to the Lord.
You're disgusting.
So just go ahead and fill you in on that.
Okay.
So it's been a crazy, crazy time in our country right now, folks.
Yes.
And it's a scary time for all of us, and regardless of whether you're blue or you're red, you know, whatever. I mean, listen, we've got some friends that say they're purple.
Yes.
And, you know, regardless of what your political stand is, we should never lose sight of what we fought for, what our founding fathers fought for in this country. One of those rights that we have taken for granted until now is freedom of speech.
Yes. And that's why I'm so grateful that we have
our
podcast one
mm-hmm.
that allows us to every week come on and truly speak candidly.
Right. And tell our truth. But, you know, when we start censoring people and we start they deleted President Trump's Twitter. I think that I read that it was 88.2 or 88.5 million followers. They deleted his Twitter, but yet we have people in third world countries who are involved in genocide, who are involved in murdering their own citizens, and they still have a Twitter. That's a problem for me, because at that point, you're basically taking a section of our country and you're trying to silence them. Now, we don't have to agree with what anyone says, but we do have to agree that this person has the right to say it. Now, listen, we deal with a lot of crazy shit. People say, I mean, listen, I'm accused of eating a bag of dick every 12 hours.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, we can't take them off of Twitter for saying it.
Well, no. No, you can't.
You and know,
I do think everyone should be able to have
a voice. Freedom,
a voice, regardless. Now, we've talked about it before. We don't think our president should be on Twitter.
No,
no
I don't.
No matter what, no
I don't
matter
think
who
that
the
any,
president is.
I just don't think that any leader of a country should be utilizing Twitter and Instagram and Facebook to further their agendas. No. Because when I was growing up, and I think we've said this, and Miss Davis, who was my third grade teacher, God bless her, you know, I had to learn every president of our of the United States, their full name, and the year and the years that they were in the White House, that they were the president.
That's a lot.
Clearly, you didn't have to learn that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's folks. That's because she went to Seneca, South Carolina, okay, to Seneca High School and Seneca Elementary. I went to Westminster Elementary and College Street, and Miss Davis worked at College Street.
Okay, it was the same
and taught me
county.
More than you learned.
It was the same county.
But we
get
were smarter.
Over it.
We were obviously smarter.
Okay.
But with that being said, today, or rather, when I was growing up, you looked at the Oval Office, the White House, and the president as being the top. That right. There was nowhere else to go once you reached that level. Right. But now you're using Twitter to communicate with me, who does a reality show.
Right.
I mean, don't dumb right. yourself down.
Right.
And I feel like you're dumbing
well,
yourself
and I
down
think
by
it's
that.
Not just on a much smaller scale. We've talked about this before. I think there is no respect for anyone.
No,
I think
our country's lost all levels of respect.
Children today are allowed to speak to adults as if they're on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
They're
and
allowed
you're not.
To speak to professionals as if you're on the same level. Whereas when we grew up, there were certain people in our world, whether it was a doctor, whether it was a teacher, whether it was a fireman, whoever, and they
garnered instant respect
absolutely.
Automatically. Absolutely. But here's the problem
and
with that.
I was going to say, but you look at all the shady, crooked things that people do and horrible things mm-hmm. that people that you're supposed to be able to look up to that they do that tarnishes that.
Exactly.
Well.
You know, you can't, you know, I can remember my mother saying, you all, you know, anytime I addressed someone that was elder, you know, that was an elder, it was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir,
right.
no, sir. You were to treat doctors and lawyers and you know, your pastor and the firemen and the police, all of these people and your teachers, God
right.
forbid you ever spoke back to a teacher. My mother
right.
would have wore my head.
Right.
But, you know, you just didn't do that.
Right. And now you got
now today, you got pedophiles and all of the above.
Right.
From the clergy to the courthouse.
Yep.
You got pedophiles. You know, you've got police out here taking bribes and beating the shit out of people, pulling them out of their cars.
Right.
And some of these people need shit beat out of them. So let's right. just go ahead and say that.
Right.
If you are running from the police or if you're threatening a police or you're making a police feel like they are threatened over the course of doing their job, then you need shit slapped out of you.
Right.
Now, the police is not supposed to slap shit out of you.
Right.
That's Todd's role, not the law role.
Right.
But when they pull you over, you should be able to let your window down. Sir, can I have your driver's license and registration? And unless you're Nanny Faye, it's not open to debate.
Right.
My mother's the only one when they pull her over. Now, would you do this to your grandmother? How would your mother feel if someone was pulling her over? How old are you? You're not older than my grandchild. Mama, none of that shit matters.
Right.
This is a policeman. Yeah. Give them your driver's license and registration.
Well, I think it just everything has become so skewed.
Now, everything has become so politically incorrect.
Right.
That's the problem. No one wants to say what everyone else is thinking. And you and I said this to a friend of mine the other day to where I think that this is a rabbit hole that this country is getting ready to go down. Let's talk about the racism part of it. At least in the 30s and 40s and 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, we could identify a racist.
Right.
We knew who you were.
Right.
Today, because everyone is so afraid to say how they feel, we're shoving all of these hidden agendas back down into the dark to where people's doing their shit in silence
right.
while skinning and grinning with you during the daytime.
Right. Which really doesn't help matters.
No, because I would rather sit at a I would rather be on this podcast right now with a member of the KKK knowing, now keep in mind, I would not have, well, I might would have someone from the KKK on just so that I could really go in. But let's just say that I would rather have someone with the KKK sitting beside me in full regalia.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what the hell I'm dealing with then. Right.
Then someone who pretends to love us and love our granddaughter. And
while talking
really,
shit behind our back.
And really, they're the biggest racists out there, and they are hindering her and hurting her.
Exactly. And when you start looking at television today and the increased number of commercials that have African-American talent in these commercials, where were these commercials in the 70s? Where were they in the 80s? I'm going to give you a trick question for you, silly rabbit. Where the hell were they in 2019?
Right.
Now everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, I'm politically correct. You know, I'm racial conscious.
No, they became racially conscious when they feel like it's going to benefit.
And when they feel like it's going to benefit them to say, you know, we're now in front of this. You know, we're trying to rectify, you know, make these wrongs
right. They're not in front of it.
They're playing catch up. They're playing catch up, and they're trying to play to a certain demographic to swerve them over to their network or to their cable channel or to their radio show or whatever to say that we're socially, you know, we're racially and socially conscious. Well, you weren't 35 minutes ago.
Right. No, it's so true.
So, you know, I encourage and I say this to my children every day and to my close friends who are maybe five groups of couples that we talk to about these kind of things. Be careful of the company you keep. Because if all of this world, all of the United States of America, if there were so few racists
and
up
such
until 2000,
and pure intentions
and pure hearts,
mm-hmm.
if all of this existed prior to 2020, then we wouldn't have this problem.
Right.
So now you've got a certain handful of politicians who wants to latch on and start trying to be divisive. And that's come from both sides because, you know, I've called it out. I mean, I've made clips, mm-hmm. folks, of the Democratic side and the Republican side. And, you know, they're sitting here pandering to certain demographics,
mm-hmm.
that we're going to save you. We're going to help you while literally trying to get us all to turn against each other.
Yep.
And when I say this, so many of my friends, and I have a large group of friends that are African-American, we do, none of them disagree when I say that the politicians are turning us against each other,
mm-hmm.
to further their agenda.
Right.
Because, folks, these folks are going to get their damn salary for the rest of their life. They're going to get paid benefits,
yep.
best insurance in the country. They're going to get that at the cost of the taxpayer.
And that's not a red or blue.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, when you look at, you know, when you look at all of the things that these people are saying, I have to turn the television off, folks. I have to start listening to scripture because I feel like that every time I turn on the news, first of all, I don't watch any news anymore because you can't believe from one damn network to the other. If one says black, the other says white. And mm-hmm. you can sit here and be watching a video and you're seeing it with your own eyes, but yet another chat news channel will replay this and they'll cut clips out of it or they'll, you know, change the narrative around on it. And those things bother me. When we can do that to our own, that's problematic.
Yeah.
There was the president of Uganda who went after Twitter yesterday. And which I think Twitter literally is like the bane of everybody's fucking existence, because you can get on Twitter and talk shit about people and not worry about ever having to be confronted. Well, unless you come at me, because then I'm going to drag you through Twitter. I'm going to drag you through the streets of Twitter with every follower that mm-hmm. I have, and I'm going to call you out. And before I do that, I'm going to go to your Facebook. I'm going to go to your Twitter. I'm going to go to your Instagram. I'm going to track you down. I'm going to take screenshots of all the shady shit you've posted and that you've done. Then I'm going to repost it to give you a bigger platform. So them 3 likes that you got when you posted that crazy shit, I'm going to now increase that to 300,000 likes. Because I'm going to expose you. But the president from Uganda said that when we have a platform like Twitter that can silence groups of society during an election, like what they were trying to do in Uganda, that he was banning the use of Twitter throughout his country.
Huh.
He's banning it. Now, the irony of that, folks, is that Twitter is pissed off about this and feels like that it's that he should not be allowed to do this. Well, then you don't get to silence people that you don't like who does not share your view.
Right.
Now, I mean, I have said all along that I don't agree with President Trump's hair color or his haircut. I believe, and I damn sure don't agree with his tan, because you can get spray tans here in Los Angeles. I mean, them bitches are a dime a dozen. I mean, they can spray you in the damn parking lot of Ralph's and you'll look better than that. But I don't agree with his hair color, don't agree with his tan color, don't agree with the haircut. And I do think that he could have a better tailor. And this is Donald Trump, folks, who's a billionaire many times over. So I do think that we failed him as citizens of the United States. We should have demanded a better appearance. I do think that we should have said, hold up. I'm not engaging with you. You're the president of the United States. We're on here talking about tightening coochies on Twitter. We ain't talking about saving third world countries. So I need you to focus on the countries that are in need and the citizens of this country that are living under bridges, i.e. veterans, children going to bed hungry. I need you to focus on that and not trying to do my job, which is to drag people on Twitter.
Right. Okay, guys, so if you're using anything other than Indeed for your hiring, you're wasting your time. Hire great people faster with Indeed and only pay for results and get time back in your schedule. Indeed.com is the hiring site that helps you find quality candidates instantly with Indeed Instant Match. I love this about Indeed. So you can do the part you really need faster, which is meeting and hiring great people. Unlike other hiring sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility, delivering a quality short list faster. With Indeed, there's no long-term contracts. You can pause your account at any time, and you only pay for what you need. Indeed searches through the millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly. With Instant Match, you see a list of great candidates with zero wait. And Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to TalentNest. So, want your quality shortlist fast? You need Indeed. Right now, our listeners can get free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/CC. This is Indeed's best offer available anywhere. Get a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/CC. That's Indeed.com/CC. Offer valid through March 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
But what? Let me ask you something, Julie, because curious minds want to know.
Yeah.
Why did your son not remember what the date was for your birthday?
I don't know. What's even so?
Because you did push him out.
My birthday was yesterday, folks.
January 12th, 1973. Same year, same date every year.
Yes, yes. And my son sent me a text.
On January the 9th.
On the 9th.
Because he verified it by going to Google. Now, what does that tell you?
Right. I think there is some kind of Facebook out there that has my birthday as the 9th, too. But
it's a fake Facebook.
Whatever. But then he asked my dad, and my dad said, oh, yeah.
Well, folks, you know, if you were to ask Nanny Faye what her favorite son's birthday would be, she would say April the 6th, 1978.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. April the
6th, 1968. Yes.
68.
Okay. But with that being said, so I just got two birthday wishes from my boys. Because Grayson actually, when he sent me this beautiful text, and then
read it. Read it and let everybody know what he sent me.
This is what he said. He said, happy birthday, Mama. I love you. Thank you for being the best mom on the planet. I couldn't have asked for a better one, and I can't imagine my life without you, because I can't do many things without Mama, even though I don't like to admit it. I can't put into words how thankful I am for you and how grateful I am. You've gotten me out of so much stuff, so thank you. And I love you, and I always will. He said, I sent this one when I thought it was your birthday. But he told me not to read it on the 9th, so I didn't read it till yesterday. So it was just really like getting it
on
my birthday.
So you're still making
excuses.
But how
sweet is that?
It is
so
precious.
Sweet.
And I'm so grateful that he loves you, but I will tell you that he tells me privately that he is closer to me.
Okay, that's fine. That's totally fine.
So you had a good birthday.
Yeah, I had a nice, relaxing birthday. Mm-hmm. We're actually in L.A., mm-hmm. So we're recording this podcast at our Podcast One studio in L.A., our first time here.
Right.
So we're super excited about that.
And we have a new producer here with us.
Yes.
For while we're in L.A., and his name is?
My name is Will.
So, Will, we're going to make sure that you turn out to be as good as our producer in Nashville.
I will do my best.
No doubt.
So you had a great birthday.
Yes.
And you're kind of you're feeling better because you were a little bit under the weather.
Yes, I was a little under the weather, but I am not COVID related, folks. You know, already had that, been there, done it. Completely unrelated to COVID, but I am feeling much better today. You know, LA is a different world out here right now. If for those of you don't know, there's no in-restaurant dining.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do everything as takeout or delivery.
Thank you, Newsom.
It's so weird to me because this is truly a place where you can eat outside year-round for the most part. I mean, especially if you're like from other places, mm-hmm. what people in California consider to be cold, we don't. And I see so many of the restaurants that have made like outdoor dining, like they've increased their outdoor dining. They've added the plexiglass, the covers and tables, and really done a great job to ensure social distancing while still being able to offer dining.
Well, you know, I went to get you breakfast the other day.
Yes.
To Almondine's,
uh-huh.
Which is this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful croissant place here, and you can only go in, and we used to love to go there and sit at the little cafe and have our croissant and chat and whatever. Now you can just literally go into the plexiglass window, point to what you want, they put it in a box, and then you go to the other end after they put it down, and you pick it up.
Right.
Folks, this cannot be what we've turned into. I mean, I understand and respect that we have to take precautions, and it doesn't hurt us to wear a mask.
No.
And listen, to be honest with you, since COVID hit and people have started having to wear masks, it has helped me with my religion because then I am finding that I'm less judgmental over people's looks because I can only see half of it.
Gosh.
So I feel, like my producer here, right? I mean, I don't even know if you're good looking.
You'll never know.
See, right now, you're running with the fact that I don't have that knowledge.
It's true.
So, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal for us to wear a mask.
Right.
You know, but when you're in California, you come here for the weather, to be outside, you know, to see the melting pot of the country come together, which is why we've always been drawn to L.A.
Yeah.
And now it's just like the streets are empty.
It is.
And
it's
the
so
irony
sad.
Of it is that you can go to the Beverly Center or any of the shopping malls and shop, but you can't go get a damn sandwich. So let me understand this. I can go to Neiman Marcus and not give you COVID, but I can go to In-N-Out and infect you.
Basically, I think so.
So underwear, I'm buying underwear at Neiman Marcus, no risk of infection. I'm getting what is the thing I get at In-N-Out? What is that?
Single. Animal style.
Yes, single animal style, and you are corrupted at that point.
I know, it is. And I think for me, it's some of the places that we've driven by that we've gone to for 25 years that are boarded up,
mm-hmm.
that may never recover, that their families and generation after generation that have put all their time and energy and money into restaurants and hair salons and nail salons and workout facilities.
And I don't care what no one says. Hair salons and nail salons should be essential workers. They really just should be essential workers because, I mean, people are looking ratchet as hell today. And
they
so
really are.
We need to make sure that certain things are happening.
Right.
But, you know, It's not, COVID is not a joking matter.
No, it's really not.
I mean, I know how sick I was. You were sick. I mean, Julie's idea of catching COVID was,
well, listen, I cannot help that I was just a stronger individual when it comes to being able to fight it off.
Or the fact that I'm going to win an Academy Award for my performance of COVID.
Well,
because I was in the hospital for 4 days.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, regardless, I'm grateful that you're here today.
Well, yeah, because without me, how could the podcast
I think work? It is it's a sad, sad time because there are so many people who did not make it through.
And let's talk about the homeless here in California now, right, in the areas that we've never seen it.
I know.
I mean, the tents under the freeways,
it's
trash littering the streets. And you got a governor. You got a Governor Newsom. And I'm just saying right now, folks, there is a petition going around. I think today it's right at 1 million signatures that they may have already gotten to recall him. I wish I could sign it, but I'm not a resident of California.
Right. I think you're just bitching because we can and because he's not our governor.
No, if I were governor and did this shit in Tennessee, he would have already been recalled.
Well, you know, and I do think, I mean, we have
Will, you live here in L.A.?
I do, yes.
Okay, and how do you feel about the way your governor's handled things?
I have a lot of other opinions about how wealth disparity works in this city, in this state, so I don't know if the answer is that simple.
Well, are you a fan of Governor Newsom?
I am, yes.
You are?
Yeah.
What, does it bother you that I'm trashing him?
No.
Okay, so that's because you have the mask on, because right now you're saying F you, and I just can't see that.
No, I can also respect other people's opinions.
Okay, so when...
Which is exactly what we're trying to say.
Respect people's opinions.
Right.
Because you and I can be friends, and clearly you and I disagree about your bestie Newsom.
Life's too short, I think, to fight too much.
Yeah. I agree with that, and it makes you age.
Exactly.
But, you know, I think that, you know, when you're looking at all of these homeless people out here, and... it's just like something that we've not seen.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have this in Tennessee. Now, we have certain, we have homeless.
Yeah.
But we don't have anything like this.
No.
And I look at, you know, something that bothered me, and this happened to us about a year ago. We're sitting on, is it Cannon, where El Pasteo is?
Yes.
Okay. We're sitting there outdoor dining, mm-hmm. and the homeless guy comes up and says he's hungry. We order him food. Do you remember this?
Yes.
We ordered him a meal. Mm-hmm. Savannah hands it to him, and they tell him that he cannot eat it there. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Now, my thing on that is that the restaurants cannot share the food. Like, if they mess up an order or whatever, it has to go immediately in the trash. Mm-hmm. But you have a homeless person standing outside the door that doesn't care that order's messed up, that, you know, you gave filet mignon and you wanted ribeye. He doesn't care. He's going to eat whatever.
Right. Yeah, I think it goes back to kind of what Will was saying, is that there's so many factors that have gotten California, gotten our country to where we are today, and with the homeless and with just the those issues. It's not just a one particular thing. It's not just a one person. It's not just a one office of government that's gotten us there.
No, I think that we've gotten there as a collected effort, because you've got the Democrats who have, you know, historically, you know, there's normally with a Democratic, you know, president and Congress, there's normally going to be tax raises. Taxes right. are going to go up. Mm-hmm. So then you've got the percentage of people, you know, that are reaching these top tier, you know, incomes that are hit the hardest.
Right.
Or there's a larger amount of money that's coming from them.
Right.
But then you got the Republicans sitting over here, and they're like, well, we don't give a shit as long as it doesn't benefit us. We'll pass another law or another legislature that'll, you know, undo what they did on this side. And you're supposed to work together.
Right.
They should, the blue and the red should come together and say, what benefits the masses?
Right.
Not what benefits one group.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree.
You know, we have more than we need.
Yeah.
We have more than we need. And,
you know, more than we deserve.
And more than we deserve. And, you know, we give often. Mm-hmm. And we don't do our giving publicly. We do it, you know, we've always been taught.
Don't have a reason.
We've always been taught growing up that, you know, if you're doing it for the right reasons, you don't need an audience. So, you know, we handle our stuff privately. But at the end of the day, when you're starting to look at the Bill Gates or, you know, what's the one I don't like, I think so unattractive. With social media, Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
I think he's the, he looks like an iguana.
Oh my God.
He looks like that little thing from Geico. What is that? A gecko. He looks like a gecko. But, you know, all of that money, they could solve world hunger. But they're not giving it to that. They're using their money to further their agendas. Right. So whether you're blue or you're red, here's the simple concept. If you are standing in a restaurant ordering you food and the person standing over here can't order food and you can, and that's not going to hurt you to buy them a hamburger.
Right.
Buy that person a hamburger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was actually in the Ralph's a few days ago and there was a little lady in front of me and she had gotten like a 18-ounce Coke and a little box of donuts. Something else. It was like $6.26 was what her bill was. Well, she was trying to use, I think, maybe like a government card, but they were asking her for a PIN, and she did not understand. She didn't speak great English, and she didn't know what her PIN was. Well, they were going to make her take her things back. Mm-hmm. The cashier was. And I said, no, you know, no. Just put that $6.26 on my bill. Let her have her stuff. And they're like, are you sure? Are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, this poor lady was trying to get, I mean, you know, if you go to a grocery store and your bill's $6.26, you aren't getting much. I wish she had gotten more, actually. But I'm like, absolutely. And she was so grateful. She thanked me, like, thank me. And it didn't, I mean, it was $6.26.
And you know,
I probably
had, you're going to lose that.
I probably had $100 worth of groceries there that I was buying of just waters and things that we needed, not even needed, but things we wanted to have in our room. It really, over the whole scheme of things, that cost me $6.26.
And you feel good about doing
that. And I felt good about doing it, and I helped this lady out. She didn't have to return her Coke and her donuts.
Well, it's the same thing as what you go to the Bell Mead Kroger.
Yes.
You go to the Bell Mead Kroger. And what did the manager stop you? Was it the Publix or the Kroger that the manager came over to you and told you about?
I know. It was the Publix. It was the Publix. And he just said, Miss Chrisley, I just want to tell you, you know, we live in Nashville, so it's much smaller. You know, you do know your grocers and you know your, you know, you just know people. And he said, I have to tell you that you did such a great job with Savannah. And I said, well, thank you. That's very sweet of you. He said, there was a lady in here and he said, I think she had asked Savannah to like help her get like some coffee that was up high. And Savannah could tell that she was, you know, really watching what she was putting into her cart and she was adding it up. And Savannah just kind of took the cart and went down every aisle and said, get what you need. Get what you want. And the lady's like, she was completely like caught off guard.
But you said she kept buying the smallest little
things. She would buy like the tiniest little thing of coffee. And Savannah's like, no, just get the big thing of coffee. That way you'll have it, you know. And you could tell it was so out of her comfort zone to do that. But not just that. Not just Savannah. It wasn't just about her throwing a cart out there and paying for this lady's groceries. But Savannah took like an hour in the store to literally go through every aisle and to help this lady put meals together. What she could cook, you know, what she needed to be able to cook and just to have coffee and have creamer, you know, which is to some people, that's a luxury and things that we take
in the wealthiest country
that we take
Earth.
For granted. And, you know, Savannah didn't come back and tell me that.
And that's
she
what
never
made it
would
so
have.
Much better.
You know, she would never tell me that. But the grocer, the manager at the grocery store actually witnessed it and wanted me to know, listen, you've done a great job.
And that's a true blessing. That
yeah,
is when
is.
As a parent, those are, you know, all those nights that you're walking the floor and worrying about your child, if they're going to be on time when they're supposed to, or if they got to where they needed to get to and they didn't do their homework or whatever, all of those nights that you gave up for that lead to this moment here.
Absolutely.
Not that Savannah missed curfew or not. There was that one time. But, you know, that was a blessing to be able for you to come home and tell me that. And I thought, you know what? Thank you, God.
Yep.
Thank you for that. So let's go ahead and move on. Since Will does not want to engage in our conversation about his fine best friend, Newsom, we'll move on to emails.
Voicemails.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Sarah from Connecticut. I don't have a question. I have a comment. Thank you so much for your latest podcast. I'm listening on January 7th. So the one all about the state of our country, I agree with you 100%. I think you're very, very brave for speaking out the way you do. And I love your show. I love your family. And thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you so much for that. You know, we may not be the smartest bulbs in the box, but we will shine at some point. So I appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you, Sarah, so much.
Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Julie. This is Kimber from Tampa, and I've been watching you since day one. I've never missed an episode, never missed a podcast, and I've never missed an episode of Growing Up Chrisley. But I was hoping that in the future, y'all would have a trivia game, like a Chrisley Knows Best trivia game, because it would be so much fun to play with my friends that also watch you religiously. So hoping that that might be something in the future. Anyway, love y'all so much.
Kimber from Tampa. That is a great idea.
Tell me what your royalty is on this idea. We need to discuss that first, because we normally are accustomed to paying 8 to 10%. You know, I would come in with you at a 4%, and we can work up, right?
Well, you know, there's always negotiating. But Kimber, that's a great
that's
idea.
That's a great idea, Kimber, and yes. I thank you so much. We do not have that on the list of things that we're working
but
on
we
right
do now.
But we will add it. So thank you so much. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Chrisley. This is Cammie from Brookhaven, Mississippi. Todd, this question is for you. I was just wondering if you were still in the real estate business. I know you're busy with your podcast and your reality TV show. I was just wondering that. Love you guys. Thanks.
Cammie, I think her name was, from Brookhaven, Mississippi. You know, we are super, super busy, and Todd is super busy. Can't wait to share with you guys all of the new projects that he's working on. But real estate, I do believe, is in our blood, whether that's, you know, buying a house to redo and sell, whether it's, you know, finding houses for our children, just whatever it is. I believe that real estate is something that we will never, ever, ever
get away from. You know, I am involved in real estate every day in some form. And I love real estate, and it is something that I'm going to always do and that I want to go back to full time when I have time. Savannah just got her real estate license. Chase is sitting for his, I think, in the next week or two, whenever they have so many people in a classroom. I swear it's taken Chase and Savannah longer to get their real estate license than it did for whoever the hell wrote the test. But Savannah did pass hers, so she's now a licensed – she's now an agent in Tennessee. Chase will be getting his in the next few weeks. And then Grace and I hope
he
follows in suit. But, you know, yes, I would love to start developing again with my kids to teach them, you know, from the ground up, you know, what's required from that. And it's just something that gives me peace and joy. And so, you know, I hope that that answers your question. Next caller, please.
Hi, guys. I am calling from San Diego, California, and the question that I have for you is, do you guys ever feel, I guess, pressured or upset when you guys have drama or family problems going on and the TV show is just in the way and you want to act a certain way towards the situation, but you can't because there's cameras all over? Thank you. Hope to hear from you guys soon.
Oh, San Diego.
Yes.
Buddy, let me just tell you something. The shit gets deep. I mean, we have stuff that happens just like in any family, and it happens all the time and at the most inopportune moments. And are there times that when things go down with my kids that if the cameras were not going, I would respond a little differently? Yes, because I have to be able to keep the episode on the air. And the way that I would respond with the cameras not rolling, the entire episode would be beep, 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 beep. So I want you to be able to have an episode. So I have to kind of take it down a notch and say, okay, bring this back in and let's try to get through this. And then when the cameras stop rolling, you can snatch them up then. So, yes, we do have those moments. And are we made to – no one has ever made us with the network – you know, to where we couldn't share something. I think we've made decisions
right.
on things that, you know, we're going to deal with privately.
Right.
But the network has always stood by us and said, you know, you put it out there. Whatever is happening in your life, let's get it and put it out there. You know, the funny thing about our show, Chrissy Knows Best, is that this show started out, was it 2012 or 13?
13. We started filming August of 2013.
Okay. And this show was sold as a docuseries, a reality show. And the show after the first season was kind of adopted as a comedy.
Right.
And so the network has always wanted us to stay in that lane and in that vein. And I don't even know that I'm doing – I don't even know if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing or not. I just go on camera and say what the hell I would say without the camera running, except for the parts that's going to be bleeped.
Right.
But, you know, our show, I think you're going to learn a lot more in season 8 and in season 9 and in season 3 of Growing Up Chrisley. You're going to see a lot more real moments because we've just made the decision that, you know what? We have to be true to our fan base. We have to be true to the people that tune in every week. And we can't sugarcoat the real drama that we're going through in our life.
Right.
And so, you know, we're discussing relationships. We're discussing kind of, you know, Julie, things that you and I are doing, things that we have going on in our relationship. Before you run with a tabloid story, there ain't shit going on in our relationship that me and Julie are not happy with. But, you know, conversations that we have
right.
as a – how old are you? 41?
Love you. Yes.
I'm just trying to plan my evening.
Yeah. No, you're trying to make yourself. I can't be 41. Then you can be just a little older. So.
Okay. So I'm 43.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, you know, but just the things that we talk about, like, you know, the stuff going on in our country, what's going to happen to our children?
Mm-hmm.
What is the debt that they're going to inherit? What's the debt our grandchildren are going to inherit? You know, Julie, what do you think about Savannah and Nick? I mean, is this relationship going to work? Is it not going to work? Julie, what do you think about Chase and Emmy? Julie, what do you think about Grayson, who's now been called on the phone with girls sending him pictures? You know, we talk about all of these things.
Yeah. For sure.
And, you know, these are moments that we feel like that we shouldn't hold back.
Right. For sure.
And so we've made a conscious effort to put these things out there. So I hope that you will see that in these upcoming seasons.
Yes.
So thank you so much for tuning in. Next caller, please.
Hey, Chris Lee. I wanted to ask y'all, who does your interior design for your house? And did you move? Thanks a lot.
Hello. I'll let Julie answer that question.
Well, you know, this fine gentleman sitting across from me actually does all the interior design. So he picks out paint and wallpaper and furniture and rugs and accessories. And I have to say, I love 99.9% of everything he does.
Well, there was one wallpaper you didn't like this last time.
There was one wallpaper out of everything that I did.
And it
just
was a scene.
It
was a scene from Paris.
I just didn't love it. But yes, so that would be Todd. He is very, very, very talented.
And we don't discuss. We try not to discuss where we live because we have some fans that really love us a lot, so much that they will climb over gates and go under them and wait for us to leave the gate. And so we try to.
I think season 9 will be a telling season.
Yes. So tune into season 9, buddy. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. This is Alex from Kearney, Nebraska. I just wanted to let you guys know that you guys are amazing. I love your show and I love your podcast. I listen to it all the time. I just have a question about managing time making the best of things. I'm a college student. I'm 24, and I work two jobs just to get by. I know both of you are very successful in the things that you do, and I was just wondering how you thought about a young person like me starting my own business. It's been tough, so I just wanted to try to make my own mark in the world, and I just also was kicking around the idea of joining in the real estate world. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Hey, Alex.
From Nebraska.
Nebraska. First of all, you won us over when you said you're 24 and you're working two jobs. I believe that.
And going to school.
And going to school. I firmly believe that we are entitled to exactly what we're willing to work for and to sacrifice for. I also believe that, you know, nothing is free. You may think it's free, but it's not free. No matter what it is, it's costing someone. And I think that when you have a good, strong, solid work ethic and you are where you need to be from a moralistic standpoint, then the world is out there for you. I don't believe that we ever get wealthy to the, you know, and everyone's definition of wealth is different, but I don't believe we ever become wealthy working for someone else. I believe that we have our dream, you know, you should have a dream, and that dream, if you can take that dream and turn it into a paycheck, then it's really not work.
That's right.
And I think you had said last week or week before last that if you have a job that you love to go to, then you'll never work a day in your life.
That's right.
So
that you're passionate about. And I think you're 24 years old. So I think the thing that I would say is don't be afraid to fail. You're 24 years old. You have plenty of time to rebound if plan A doesn't work. And I think that's the thing, is you always have to have a plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever.
Yeah, honey, you
got
to have a plan that covers the whole damn alphabet today.
Yes,
it's 2021. One job ain't going to cut it. Three ain't going to cut it, because you're going to still want more than what the three can provide.
Right.
So the fact that you have two and that you're in school and you want to get into real estate, I strongly encourage you to do that.
Absolutely.
Follow your dreams. And like Julia said, if you fail at 24, the bounce back is amazing at 24. It's a hell of a lot quicker than at 44.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Rachel from Mid-Missouri. I am calling in. First off, I want to thank you all for your show. My 15-year-old absolutely loves it, and it's good parenting for him. I think it helps me with my parenting. But I wanted to get your opinion on, one, you know, you talk a lot about hanging around with the people that you want to be that bring you up. And kind of wanting to know if you guys have any ideas on how to go about doing that. I mean, I have a few friends, but not a bunch of friends. And then secondly, I was married at 19. I kind of rebelled against my parents, married at 19, baby at 21, divorced at 22. And then now here I am 36. I have a wonderful husband and two boys. But I am actually listening to your episode from the beginning back. And one episode you're talking about being happy alone and not, knowing who you are, and that's where I feel like when I was young, I jumped in straight in to marriage, and then got a divorce, and I spent some time working on me. And then my husband now, who is completely supportive, I just feel like there's times where I don't know what I would do if I didn't have my husband and kids around. I don't know who I would be. So just curious to hear any advice on how you go about finding yourself and who you are outside of your husband and kids and what you would do if you were alone. Thank you. Love you all. Bye.
Well, you know, for me, I mean, the irony of this is that we just had this conversation last night with some friends of ours
right here.
My identity, my whole world is wrapped up in my marriage and my children. But my identity is not you, my wife, or my children.
Right.
My identity belongs to me. And I believe that if you can do yourself, you can be by yourself. So, you know, I started doing myself before I started doing anybody else. So that taught me how to be in good company. So I feel like that you can't ever be the best for someone else when you're less than that for yourself.
It's So true.
And I don't believe that we owe anyone, no matter how much we love someone, we do not owe them our identity.
Right.
We do not need to sacrifice our game because they're lame, for the lack
That's
of a better
term.
That's a good
one.
We just, I've raised strong children, some of them stronger than others, and some of them who think they're stronger than others. But, I feel like that we should all love ourselves, because if you can't love yourself, then how are you going to love somebody else?
Right.
And I think for me that my faith is stronger than it's ever been, and that my walk with Christ, that I walk in faith and, not sight. And I think that's allowed me, my faith being stronger has allowed me to love you more, Julie,
right,
and to be a better partner and to be a better parent. So I guess to answer your question, you rebelled early on. You got pregnant, you got married, you got divorced, then you remarried, you had another child. Now you've got a great life, but now you kind of feel like you've lost yourself. I don't think any of us lose ourselves. I think we volunteer to go silent.
Yeah.
And I choose not to ever volunteer to go silent. I need for you to hear me. If we're going to be in a relationship together, then I need for you to hear me when I speak to you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I need you to hear me when I'm saying nothing.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah, that's so true.
Like this morning, or last night, when you want me to turn off my sermon, I heard her loud and clear, and she didn't say anything. It was the look, folks. But I just feel like that you don't give yourself up for your children, because when you give yourself up for your children, then who are you? How are you going to be anything for the child?
Right.
I think that your child learns to be a strong, constructive, contributing member of society by watching you go through your struggles.
Right.
It's not the greatest times in the world that your character comes from. Your character comes from all of the trials and tribulations that you're going to face in life.
So true.
And, if every day is on Rodeo Drive and me just shopping and buying whatever I want, how does that build character?
Right.
But me being told that I can't go shop on Rodeo Drive because this is how much money I made and there's not enough to sustain me going and doing that, then the character comes from you working harder and figuring out a way to make that dream happen for you, if that is your dream.
Right.
For me, folks, I was a little fickle and, very self-centered and self-absorbed, and Rodeo Drive meant a lot to me at one point. Today, it with all the boards on the windows, it doesn't mean as much. But, I think that for you, love yourself, know your self-worth, and know what it took for you to get from that 22-year-old divorced parent with a child to where you are today. Focus on those struggles and how you worked through them for you to land where you are today, and then turn around and pat yourself on the back. Because after you do that, you deserve a pat on the back. Because I believe that, I believe we all deserve a pat on the back just getting through the day.
Mm-hmm. Especially today.
100%. Yeah. Like Will's parents, they deserve a pat on their back because they have a child that's probably not that attractive because he keeps himself hidden behind a mask. But they pat themselves on the back, Will, because they got you to this point, right?
Yep.
There you go.
Just like Rocky Dennis in Mask.
Well, I'll be sure if that helps you.
Perfect.
Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. This is Sarah from Hiram, Georgia.
Oh,
I hope y'all had an amazing Christmas, and I'm wishing you guys an even better new year. Hey, I love all your shows and the laughter that you brought to me, especially this year, as I lost my dad in July, and I also lost my nephew in April. But, Todd, you remind me so much of my dad with your funny, witty things and the attitude that you have, but also with the way that you lovingly raise your kids reminds me so much of him. But anyway, so I'm looking forward to your January 11th podcast to hear the final outcome of what we've all been waiting for. Of course, myself, along with thousands of others who have been following the story, are in need of our closure. But my birthday is January the 10th, so this will be the perfect birthday present for me. Anyway, I'm very sorry that those very unhappy people, Katie, Josh, Scott, just to name a few, did try to destroy you and your family's good name and reputation, but again, the truth always comes out in the end. So I applaud you for standing up and fighting back. Those unhappy people chose the wrong person to try and take down. I wish I had your address, as I would love to send you a shirt that says, "Go ahead and underestimate me. That'll be fun." Then when you file your lawsuits and finally get your day in court, you could wear your new shirt, because I'm here to tell you, you deserve it.
Sarah from Hiram, you are probably one of the best calls that we've had in the past few podcasts. Thank you so much. And listen, to be compared to your father, who you lost, who clearly you love dearly, I mean, that's a huge, huge accomplishment, you know, and I take it that way, because you don't compare people to people that you love and then turn around and not respect them. So for
Absolutely.
That, I'm greatly appreciative. The court date was moved from January the 11th until sometime in February. And it's due to COVID is what our attorneys have told us. But, you know, listen, you're right. The truth always does come out, and there's going to be so much truth to come out. And we're grateful to the good Lord above for every person that he sent our way and for all of the documents that were sent to us and the emails that were not turned over to us from the Department of Revenue that we have that, you know, they claim that never existed, you know, and the employees that were there and that are currently there. You know, we appreciate all of that. As far as, you know, Katie and Josh and Scott Graham and Stacy Guest and Scott Purvis and, you know, Jim Beveridge. I try not to leave any of them out, but unfortunately, the list just continues to grow. You know, I don't know that we will ever know why they chose to do what they did, other than the evidence that we have and the testimony that has been given to us, that they wanted a high profile case and that Josh Waits was consumed with Todd Chrisley. And these are not my words, folks. These are Department of Revenue employee words in writing. So I don't know if maybe Josh wanted to date me. I mean, he could have just asked. I would have said, "No, you're not my type." But I don't know what – I don't know that we will ever get down to it, because when you start dealing with people who have such a grain of insecurity – and because you don't lie on your – you don't lie on your application to work in a state agency unless you're insecure. You actually go and do the shit that you put on the resume. You are not looking out for the people of the state that you're representing when you are seizing assets and taking these assets and putting them into a slush fund and not turning them over to the government. When you're using them as your own slush fund, your own piggy bank, those are not things that you do. You don't lie. You don't forge documents. You don't create a narrative that never existed just because you want your name attached to a high-profile case of a family that you're trying to take down. And, you know, listen, I have to look at it this way now. I mean, I had to give it to God, and I had to say, "God, I lay this at your feet. You do with it what you take it from here, and whatever happens, happens." But, you know, I don't know that I will ever understand, you know, why Katie did the things that she did. I don't know why Josh did what he did, or Scott Purvis, or, you know, Scott Santilli, or, you know, Jim Beveridge, or Stacy Guest. I don't know why they did the things that they did, other than what we've been told. And all of that will come out, and it should be very interesting when all of these people are brought in and they're called to the stand, and then they all start realizing who the handful of people are that delivered this treasure trove of information to us. And folks, God is so good, because we didn't even know these people that ended up coming to us. They ended up coming to us via social media and then met with our attorneys and turned over all this evidence and information and acknowledged that what they did was wrong and that they were doing it at the direction of Josh Waits. And, you know, and it is what it is. But, you know, I do thank you so much for calling in. I love the shirt.
Yes.
I love the shirt. So I'm going to look for that one myself. Because I really do like that. But I do thank you. I'm sorry for your loss about your nephew, for, you know, and about your father. And it's a new year, 2021, and we're hoping and prayerful that 2021 will be much better than 2020 has been. And good luck to you and your family, and God bless you. Folks, that's going to be the – I think we're out of time, right?
We are out of time.
We're out of time. So until next week, please keep each other – in prayer, and love each other, respect each other, and respect that everyone has a right to view things differently than you view them. Respect that everyone has a voice that deserves to be heard. You don't have to agree to it, but you do have to offer them the platform for it.
Absolutely.
So until next week, good luck, God bless, and we love you all and appreciate you.